We're holding on Mamad Aleph on the base of the Mishnah. Dumo Achin, again a case of three brothers. In this case, though, unlike the ones we had on Lamed Amud Aleph, where we had four different cases involving where two of the brothers are married to sisters, here it's the Surin Gimel Nachrius. Here they're all married to unrelated women. So you don't have issues of Erver, Tzaras Erver, or so forth. Here the Mishnah is going to be dealing with a different issue. One of the brothers died. The second brother did Mimer with the widow, with the Yavama. And then he died. So now it comes out, this woman that he did Mimer with, the Zika that exists on the basis of her first marriage still exists, Midar Aisa, because Mimer didn't accomplish anything.
She was first married to Reuben. Reuben
died, so Shimon did Mimer with her.
Okay.
But then Shimon himself died before being able to follow up on the Mimer.
Okay.
So, Mimer Midar Aisa, we established already a few days ago that Mimer, according to Basilo, Midar Aisa doesn't do anything. So therefore, Midar Aisa, she's still tied to Reuben. Midrabanan, she's tied to Shimon. Actually, the Gemara is going to discuss, really, whether we're talking Midar Aisa or Midrabanan. But for the moment, let's not get into that. The point is that Sarah, in a way, is tied to both Reuben and Shimon. To Reuben, because no Yibum has been done, and to Shimon, because of Mimer.
You would think that the fact that the Yibum has not been done would...
So then in that case, she'll have to do chalitza, not yibum, meaning, as usual, there is a zika, at least midrabanan,
right.
But we're going to have to do chalitza to take care of that, but you can't do yibum. Why?
With the
third brother, with Levi.
Third brother.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I mean, so when we say, Tosis points out, we're saying over here that the three brothers were married to three unrelated women. We didn't have to say that, really. We could have just as well said that the middle brother wasn't married to anybody. You could just say, yeah, it would be the same thing. Here we're not dealing with the Tzara at all. It's just, practically speaking, you know, you think of it. Yeah. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Meis Achad Mehen, the Pasuk says, if one of the brothers dies, Yavam or Yavay Aleha, then the Yavam should have relations with her, should do Yibum, which implies, Shaleh Zikas Yavam Echad, this only applies if the woman has a Zika from only one Yavam. Well, Shaleh Zikas Shnei Beis Yavam, but not if she has a Zika from two brothers. That's the thing. She has two because she has two zikas. Exactly. That's why we're saying
right.
that therefore she can't do yibum. Reb Shimon, says no. You can do yibum with whichever one you want, and you do chalitza with the other one, with Shimon's wife.
That's assuming none of the two brothers have children.
Well, obviously we have to be talking about that, otherwise the whole thing is not relevant. Yeah. But Reb Shimon is saying, we learned in the second parak, that Reb Shimon figures like this, that you can look at it either way. Does the Mimer accomplish anything? Well, if the Mimer accomplishes anything, then it breaks off her Zika with Reuben. Now she's Zakuk to Shimon. Fine, he's doing Yibum on that basis. If you're going to say Mimer doesn't do anything, she's still tied to Reuben, so he does Yibum on that basis. So either way, Reb Shimon figures she should be okay. And then the other one, Shimon's wife will have to do Chalitza with, because if we would say that Sara is now considered married to Shimon on the basis of the Mimer, then you have two women from one bias, and we know you can't do Yibum with both of them. But necessarily, if you're going to be doing Yibum with Sara on the basis of either she was Reuven's wife or she was Shimon's wife, necessarily you're going to have to. One way of looking at it might be that Rivka is completely potter then, because you only need one. But the other way of looking at it, maybe not. Maybe Sarah is really getting Yibum on the basis of being Reuven's wife, and then Rivka is going to need her own Yibum or Chalitza on the basis of being Shimon's wife. So therefore, she'll have to do Chalitza. But the first one, Rib Shimon is saying, can you do Yibum? Question is, the Gemara asks, "V'izikas bez Yavam and Da'araisa." You're telling me what are the Mishnah is bringing a pasuk Yavam Umeis Achad Mehem Yavam Yavay Ala, which implies that this business of zikas shnei Yavam is actually Da'araisa. Well, if it's Da'araisa that we're saying that when she has zikas shnei Yavam in, then you don't do Yivum Chalitza Nami Lo Tibay, then she shouldn't need Chalitza either. If it, we said in the second parak that in general, whenever we say throughout the Masechta Chalitzas V'Lemis Yabemis that a woman has to do Chalitza and cannot do Yibum, it's Dirabanan. Daraisa, as we said all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, anybody who can do Yibum can do Chalitza. Anybody who can't do one isn't shy to the other one either. He was saying, if you're telling me you have a pasuk, umeis achad mehem, but if that's the case, why are you telling me she needs chalitza? If the Torah is pasuring her on the basis of umeis achad mehem because she's tied to two brothers, then she shouldn't need chalitza either. Because that's the usual rule. When the Torah says that somebody is pater from Yibum, means she's also pater from Chalitza.
Because she cannot have Yibum with two people.
No, but we're not saying not Yibum with two people. She's having Yibum with Levi. We would want to have her do Yibum with Levi on the basis of having been Mizuka, of having been Zakuk to two people. Ultimately, she's only marrying one man, Levi. But we're saying the Torah is excluding that by saying, Umeis Achad Mehem. Well, if it's something Midaraisa, why does she need Chalitza? If it's midaraisa, it means there's no zika, then she doesn't need chalitza either. Exactly why we're saying that she can't do yibum. That's all that we're asking. If we bring a pasuk for this, then it means it's daraisa. If it's daraisa, there's no such thing as daraisa. Somebody can't do yibum and instead does chalitza. Midaraisa, the two things are tied together. Yeah. Ela midrabanan. So no, rather the reason why we're saying she needs chalitza is only midrabanan. The reason why we say that she should do chalitza is because otherwise people are going to think that in any case when you have two yuvamos from one bias, meaning let's say it wasn't Maimer, let's say Sarah had been fully married to Rivka, and now she and Rivka are Sarahs to each other. People are going to think now, if Shimon dies, and we're saying Levi is going to have to do yibum is going to have to do yibum with one or the other. We're saying, what if people think that you can do yibum with both of them? Which you can't. You can't. You can only do yibum with one of them because okay. Well, let's see. The question is, when yabim lachada and nichlitz lachada. Fine. Let's say that let the chachamim just make the takana. You do yibum with one, and you do chalitza with the other. The answer is Zeder Shema Yemru, but there's another Zeder we're making. We're afraid that people might think bias echad miktsase bonu miktsase cholu. People are going to think that in a case like this, where Shimon is married to two wives, people are going to think one of them needs yibum and the other one always needs chalitza, and that's not the case. The fact is that Sarah, once yibum is done with the first wife, the second one is completely potter. You don't want people to think that the second one is going to need chalitza.
In other words, they could think two ways. They could think you both can have yibum.
No, that was our original assumption. That was the original assumption.
Right.
Then we said that no, we're saying fine. So let's make the takana. The original thing was we wanted to say as follows: midaraisa. We would argue like this. First, we argued midaraisa. Maybe either of them could do yibum. The problem with that is that then people are going to think you can do yibum with both of them. So we're saying fine. Instead of making a gzeira d'rabbanan that neither of them can do yibum, do a gzera that one of them, the one who had this mimer, who has the zikas shnei yivamim, let her do yibum, let the other one have to do chalitza, and that's that. And the answer is, we don't want people to think that in general, when a person has two wives, that one of them needs yibum, one needs chalitza. Which the Gemara asks for yomru. So, let them say that. So what happens if Rivka is given chalitza without needing it? What's the big deal? The answer is,
we said,
okay, there is the fact people you might be concerned about her marrying a kohen or whatever, but still we're not gonna take off the mitzvah of yibum on that basis. The answer is idem yavim v'hadu cholitz hachinami. You're right, actually. If the case would be that Shimon would go ahead and do yibum with Sarah, and then do chalitza with Rivka hachinami, then you're right, that could work. The problem is the other way around. He might do first the chalitza and then do the yibum. He might first do the chalitza with Rivka, then he's going to try to do the yibum with Sarah, thinking that she's still married to Reuven, which he can't do, which then you have this problem of asher layivne, v'rachman amma. The Torah says, by chalitza, that the woman says, kocha ya'atzel ish asher layivne es beis achiv, that should be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. The will not is kiven shalai bana shuv layivne. We learn from that once he decided not to marry her, to do chalitza, he can't change his mind and marry either her or her tzara. So if Levi were to do chalitza with Rivka, automatically on that basis, he's also to do yibum with Sarah. Even if we were to say that the mimer is kleina,
because she's the tzara.
Because she's right. So that's the problem. We don't. So,
even
so
in the case of Mimer,
no. So that's the thing. Given that Mimer does a little bit of a Kinyan, Midrabanan. So already that's a strong enough basis, Midrabanan, to say that we don't want then, he's going to end up doing Chalitza with Rivka, the second wife, and then he's going to go back and think that he can do Yibum, that he can do Yibum with Sarah, and at that point he can't. Having done Chalitza with Rivka, all of Shimon's wives are off limits to him. And the fact that he did Maimer with Sarah makes her to a certain extent his wife.
And if he did Chalitza with Sarah,
then for sure he can't do Yibum with Rivka.
He can do Yibum, it's reversible.
Yeah, either way. So therefore, you have. So therefore, because of that, necessarily you have to say that both of them are going to have to do chalitza.
So the people shouldn't think.
The people shouldn't think that. So because not so much the people shouldn't think. The maskana is we're saying that theoretically he could do yibum with Sarah and then be able to do chalitza with Rivka, but we don't want people. What if he does it the other way around?
Theoretically, he
could do Yibum with Sarah.
Because
we could use Rav Shimon's logic that after all, you know,
that's according to Rav Shimon.
No, but even the Chachamim might accept that reasoning that we could say, you know, okay, if the Maimer is good, then she's Shimon's wife, and if the Maimer is no good, then she's Reuben's wife. Either way, remember, we said this business of Zikas. We're saying ultimately that this business of Zikas Shnei Yevamim, even though we brought a pasuk for it, the pasuk is really only an Asmachta. The actual thing of Zikas Shnei Yevamim is Dirabanan. What we're trying to figure out is why did the Chachamim make such a Gzeira? So in other words, what we're saying is, the reason they made the Gzeira was like this. Theoretically, they could have not made the Gzeira. They could have said, okay, she has Zikas Shnei Yevamim, we don't care about that. The fact is, she's your brother's wife, go ahead and do Yivam with her. And then, fine, because there's a suffix, whether Rivka is from the same bias or not, then fine, do Chalitza with her. You can't do Yibum with her because it might be all from the same bias, but fine, do Chalitza with her and that'll take care of her. The problem is that the person might get confused and do it the other way around. He might do Chalitza with Rivka, and at that point, there's a reason to have a suffix, that there's a reason to say that he's also to Sarah because of the Maimer. Because of the Maimer, because once he was Chalitza to Rivka.
If there was no Maimer, then he would be.
If there was no Maimer, then she's married to Reuben, she's married to Shimon, he would just do Yibum with both of them, and that's that. Yeah. Amar Rava. Rava says, here's another wrinkle on this. Nosed get l'mamore. What happens if after giving the Maimer, he gave a get? Now, we talked a couple of times in the last couple of days about giving a get.
To Sarah?
Right. To the same woman that he gave the Maimer to. The thing is like this. We have to distinguish. All this time, we've just been talking generically about giving a get. We have to actually distinguish, and later on in the sector, we'll have more about this, and they're in the fifth parak, I think. We're going to have a concept. There can be two different ways in which he gives a get. There can be a way where he gives the get having in mind to break the Maimer, and then that just brings things back to the original status quo, where she's a Shemeres Yavam to him. That's what we're saying. And then the other possibility is he gives her a get, that's called get l'mamor, right? The other possibility is he gives her a get, thinking that way he will break the zika. That'll be the equivalent of a chalitza. Or it could be for one or both, but whatever. You have get l'mamor and get l'zikosli.
So the zika with Sarah?
Right. So in other words, you have two possible, so Shimon does Maimer with Sarah. So actually there can be two different, so that's what I'm saying, there can be two different possibilities. There can be he never did Maimer with Sarah, but instead of giving her Chalitza, like he's supposed to do in the Yibam or Chalitza, instead of doing Chalitza, he gave her a get. That's called get l'zikasei. And that makes it, among other things, that he's not allowed to do Yibam with her anymore, Midrabana. Now there can be, we're talking about that there can be, on the other hand, he did Maimer with her, then he gave her a get to break that Maimer, which puts it back to the way it was originally.
He's the Zika.
Yeah, exactly.
He breaks the Maimer,
but he's keeping the Zika. Right. I don't know if it's in his mind, or it's written that way in the get, whatever it is, yeah. So, Amar Rava, Nosen get l'mamor, right? If Shimon then, after doing Maimer, gives a get to break that Maimer, Hutra Tsarasa, then the Tsara, Rivka, is Mutter. Because then you've returned Sarah to Sarah and Rivka. Now, well, he did it while he was still alive.
Yes, but he still kept in his mind, or he had a Zika and break the Maimer.
That's fine. That's fine.
And that photos the
We said, yeah, but, so no. So what we're saying, Hutra Tsarasa, not Hutra. Her Tsara is now allowed to do Yibum when Shimon dies. Now we're just
on the mimer.
Just on the, because there's no mimer anymore. Right. Because it would be exactly the case as if we're back to this over here, where neither Sarah nor Rivka are ever married to Shimon.
Well, but then it's a Zika, we
say. Okay, we did say there's a Zika, that's true, but one, that's
no.
It. It's true. Okay, so if we say yes Zika, then there could, if we're saying yes Zika, there could be an issue with this, fine, but we don't necessarily. Okay, so we can say ain Zika, fine, but, okay, be that as it may, once the mimer is broken, there's nothing tying Sarah and Rivka together. And the truth is, even if we say yes Zika, actually, we could, even if we say yes Zika, maybe we could still argue. Fine, yes Zika, but okay, no, I guess you're right. Yeah, if we say yes Zika, if yes Zika, then it probably wouldn't be possible. Fine. Yeah, I think actually when we talked in the second parak about yes Zika versus ain Zika, I think we brought this in that connection. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Anyway. We said something about it at the time. Actually, what did the Gemara say about it there? We mentioned this machloikus of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Yeah. Well, we talked about more the question basically of we talked about the idea of there can be a difference first of all whether it's a zika to one yavam or to two. When Reuben dies, Sarah could be equally well zakuk to Shimon or to Levi. That makes a difference. According to that makes a difference. There can be the question of is she considered like she's actually married or not? Yeah. We talk about a few different. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that therefore, now that the mimer has been broken, then Rivka is mutter for Yibum. Yeah. Aval he asura, but she herself, Sarah, remains also to do Yibum. Levi is ultimately going to have to do chalitza with Sarah to be matir her.
Levi will have to do chalitza with
Sarah.
Sarah,
because she still has a zika from the fact that she was married to Reuben, which has never been satisfied. But even the mimer that was done to partly satisfy that was broken off.
Okay.
So now, when Shimon dies, there's no choice. Levi is going to have to do something to be matir Sarah, but can't be Yibum anymore because. He can't do Yibum anymore. The Michalfa Bibalas get because it's too easy to confuse with the case where she was actually given a get to break the Zika.
But Levi does chalitza.
In other words, this that Shimon gave her a get l'ma moray, it's too easily confused with giving her a get l'zikasei. Where then we're saying then for sure she can't do yibum with any of the brothers anymore. So therefore, even though it was only a get l'ma moray, and we should say in that case we're back to the status quo, that Sarah is considered still tied to Reuven, and Levi should be able to do yibum with her. But no, because she received a get, we're not going to allow that.
Because people would confuse it to get
l'zikasei, exactly.
And it never happened this way?
What do you mean? It never happens.
It cannot be a get for two purposes.
It could be. You could be a get l'ma moray and l'zikasei.
It could.
Yeah.
If it's in the get.
Yeah. Or maybe if they make it a verbal stipulation. That's not whatever. Yeah. I guess when we get to later in the Masechta about this business of get l'ma moray versus l'zikasei, I guess then we might have something about that. Anyway, Ikadamri, a different version, Amar Rava, nothing get l'ma moray hutra afiluhi. That no. According to the second version, Rava says in that case even she, Sarah, the one who received the get will be mutter again for Yibum. My timer, my David, Bashakle, because the logic is, according to the second version, what did he do to make her usher? He didn't, but Shimon did minor. Well, he took it away by giving her a get. So we're exactly back to the status quo. So yes, we ignore any, according to the second lotion, we ignore any possibility that people might confuse the two different kinds of gitten, and we say either, and we say both of them can do Yibum or Chalitza as they
see
fit. In the first version, we say that Rivka can do Yibum, but Sarah has to get Chalitza. And in the second version, we're saying either of them can do Chalitza. And, well, each of them needs their own thing, because they come from different batim.
Right.
Maybe they have their come from different husbands, but yeah. Mishnah says, Shnei Achen Nesuin Shtei Achoyes, if you have two brothers married to two sisters, Umes Echad Mehen, and then one of the brothers dies, Ba'achach Mesa Ishta Shosheni, and then the other one's wife dies, Harezer Asura Olavai Lomis, we say, his sister-in-law is also to him forever, Toyo Vanessa Olav Sha'achas, because she was also to him for a period of time. This is basically...
Two brothers are married to two sisters.
This is basically similar, the Gemara is going to point out, but this is basically similar to one of the cases we had on Daf Lamed. We had a case If you have over here that you have over here, we discussed it on Daf Lamed in connection with Mishnayos over there. Two brothers, two sisters. One of the brothers dies, which at that point then, at that Reuben, and at that point Rachel is also as a chos ishtei.
Right.
But then Leah dies.
Right.
So now she becomes mutter to him.
Right.
But we're saying, nevertheless, she was also to him for a short time, and therefore she remains also.
Because of the Zika.
Because she was a chos ishtei.
She was a
chos ishtei at the time of the Nefila.
Right.
So Yomas Pshita, of course. How much more so, we said in one of the Mishnayos on Daf Lamed, we had a case where we're saying he's not completely excluded from doing Yibum with one of the women, because we had a case over there where you had a third brother, Levi, and he would have been able to do Yibum with Rachel because he's not.
That's the case with two brothers, not three.
No, but the point is that Amrit Loy, and yet you say that he's not. No, in other words, let's review the case we had over there. We had the case over there.
We had the case with three brothers.
That we had that Reuben dies. Reuben dies. Levi does Yibum with Rachel. Then we have Leah died, then Levi died. So now Rachel is up for Yibum, and yet we say that Rachel was at one time Shimon's achos ishtei, even though he would have been able to do Yibum, even though we would have thought he's allowed to do Yibum with Sarah, at least with Sarah, he'd at least be able to marry somebody from Levi's wives, we would have thought, and we say yet not. The community of Mahai base of Gamri, like Oshken, over here, where there's only two brothers, and there's no question, there's no way in which Reuben was ever, or Shimon rather, was ever going to be able to do Yibum with any of Reuben's wives, like Oshken. So then, how much more so? Why do we even need this Mishnah? We can deduce it from that case of the three brothers, where we see that even though we said over there that not only Achos Ishtei, we said that Sarah even is Osir. So how much more so?
Sarah was
after. So because she's sort of sachos ishtei.
Okay.
And the difference is in that case we might have thought that Shimon is even mutter to marry Sarah.
Right.
Because she's not related to him at all, so he'd at least be able to be miyabim one of Levi's wives.
Okay.
And yet we said no.
Right.
So how much more so when there's only two brothers and there's no Sarah?
He cannot marry the Sarah.
There's no Sarah, but you can't marry the sister even though his wife, who's her sister, died. The answer is a similar answer to what we had on Daf Lamed. Tana ha Tana Beresha. First the Tana taught.
So what's the question now?
The question is why we need our Mishnah.
Right.
What is our Mishnah adding to the previous case?
Right. You could have deducted from the previous.
Yeah. The answer is Tana ha Tana Beresha. The Tana taught our Mishnah first. In the previous case involving the three brothers, he thought that maybe it should be mutter. Vesharia, and therefore he wanted to be matir or Vesharia Hagar Tabaksa, so he left it out. Vahadu Chazuli Sura. Later on, he realized that no, it's true. Even though that case is less obvious, that it's also nevertheless it still is. But I didn't have even like Akhtama. Because it's dear to him, because it's important, it's precious to him. Because first he didn't realize, and then he realized.
And he said the three brothers. He didn't.
He originally taught this Mishnah of the two brothers, thought to say in the case of the three brothers, maybe we would say she is mutter. But then he realized that no, she's not mutter in that case either. So having realized that, he put that Mishnah first because it's more important to him because it's something that he didn't realize at first and then he realized afterwards.
So
well, Mishnah is Azim Kaima, and as we said before, we left the original Mishnah intact because people are used to it. From here for the next couple of blocks, the Gemara is going to be getting into a very basic concept in Halacha called Isur Chal, whether we say Isur Chal al Isur or not. If you have something which is usur, based on one lav in the Torah, based on one reason, can it become more usur based on another lav? That's what we're going to be starting to talk about. Tanan abanan. Ba'aleha, what happens if in this case over here, now let's say for example, Leah was still alive. So suppose that Shimon does go and have
Reuben relations. Passed away.
So Reuben passed away. Rachel should be up for Yibum, only she's potter because she's a choisish, right?
Two brothers, one passed away.
Yeah.
The other is alive.
Yeah. Now what would happen if Shimon were to have relations with Rachel?
Right.
Either he did what he thought was Yibum, or just out of wedlock, or whatever it is. How many counts is he chayav? Chayav alayam mishum eishes och or mishum achoisish. Divir Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi says he's chayav on two counts. Number one, she's his wife. Number one, she's his brother's wife. There's no heter to do yibum over here.
Brother.
Therefore, that's still the brother's wife is an error. Normally, we would say we would master it for yibum, but here there's no mitzvah of yibum.
Even when the brother passed away.
Because she's achoisish. So therefore, the issue of eishes och still applies. And there's also the issue of achoisishta of the fact that she's his wife's sister.
So the reason is achoisishta and
eishes achiv.
Yeah. So the question is, do the two issurim add to each other?
That's what we're going to discuss. Wait. Reb Shimon Omer ain't a chayiv on the mishum eishes och bilvad. Reb Shimon says no, he's only chayiv on the grounds that she's his brother's wife. Question is, we have a different braisa where Reb Shimon says that he's only chayiv on the grounds that she's his wife's sister. The answer is, like Hasha, kan shenosa chayiv achakach nosa mes. One case is talking about where first the living brother, the surviving brother, Shimon, got married, and then afterward the one who died. Kan shenosa mes achakach nosa chay. The other one is talking about where the one who died got married first, and then the one who's alive. Let's see the scenarios over here. Scenario number one is that Shimon got married first, which automatically makes Rachel also to him, even before she married Reuben. She's also to him as Achos Ishtoi. Now Reuben marries Rachel, and now we're arguing there's two Lavim. The thing is, we're saying in that case, Reb Shimon would say that no, once she was also as Achos Ishtoi, she cannot become more also because she's also Eishes Achiv.
There's no Isser on
Isser. We'll talk about that soon, with the details of what Reb Shimon holds. As opposed to the other way around. If Reuven first married Rachel, which now Rachel is also to Shimon because of Eishes Achiv, because Eishes Achiv. Now, later on, he marries Leah. Then it's the other way around. First, she was Eishes Achiv. She doesn't become more also as Achos Ishtoi. So that's why the two braises are talking about two different scenarios. Virab Shimon.
So one case is the braise was about Eishes Achiv, and then the one opposite.
Right. So that's why because it depends which one came first. The question now becomes, Reb Shimon, so according to Reb Shimon, so let's consider, if first the dead brother Reuben married Rachel, and then afterwards Shimon married, given that we're saying, in this second scenario over here, given that we're saying that Rachel is only also to Shimon because of Eishes Achiv, well then, once Yibum comes up, there's no issue of Eishes Achiv anymore, why shouldn't he do Yibum with her?
She was once
Asur. She only became Asur as Eishes Achiv. Imagine Shimon wasn't married to Leah. Rachel is also to him as soon as Reuben marries her. But once Reuben dies, she becomes Mutter for Yibum. Why does the fact that he's married to her sister make any difference if Shimon is saying anyway that Ein Yisur Chal al Isur? If first Reuben married his wife and then Shimon married his, Kivin de Isvach is Isher Leichayel, since you're saying that the Isur of being his wife's sister is never chal on Rachel, because she was already Osir because she's his brother's wife, tis yabim yabumi, let her go ahead and do yibum. It should be like a regular case of Eishes Achiv. Amar Rav Ashi, the difference is like this. Isu Achoy, and we have this concept earlier in the Masechta. Isu Achoy is Isha mitla toli v'koy. What happens according to Reb Shimon is we say the Isu of Achoy's Isha is still out there. It's floating out there. It's just hanging in the air. There's nothing for it to be chal on yet. As soon as the Isser of her being his brother's wife goes away, then immediately the one of Achos Isha takes effect. So therefore, the Isser of Eishes Och never goes away in the first place. So therefore, Reb Shimon still says that the Reb Shimon will still say he's still only Chayev. No, but besides the fact that he can't do Yibum, he's only Chayev still on the basis of Eishes Och. That Isser never went away because there's another Isser waiting in the wings to take its place. Therefore, that issue never went away, and therefore it still stands there.
Well, then, Shimon, they don't add to each other, but
But one can substitute for the other. Right.
They don't disappear also completely.
Okay, now the question is, the sover of Yotzi Ism Chalal Isser, you're telling me then, so okay, so Reb Shimon we've established, Reb Shimon holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser, period. We'll see later on. We'll talk about later actually whether there might be exceptions to that, but wait, we'll get. Now Reb Yotzi, the sover of Yotzi Isser Chalal Isser, you're telling me that Reb Yotzi holds that one Isser can be Chalal on another? V'hatanya, but we learn in a Braisa, over Aveda Shiyash B'Shtei Misses, if a person is over on something where Tzchai has two Misses based in, and Rashi gives the example, which is an example from the Gemara in Krisus over there, that a case could be, for example, that we'll have an example in a second, the Braisa itself here, we'll give an example. So over Aveda Shiyash B'Misses, Nidin B'Shtei Misses, Nidin B'Chamura, he gets the stricter death penalty. If he did something that there's two misses
right,
involved in it, then he's going to get the stronger penalty. For example, we're going to talk about in a minute.
Wait.
That's the Tanakama. That's the Tanakama holds Isur Chalal Isur. Rabbi Yosi, I'm a nidin bezika arishona abal. Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Yosi rather says no. You judge him. You punish him according to the first Isur that came into effect.
Regardless of which one
is stricter. Kate Vitanya, and we learn in a Braisa, Kate said, what does this mean? Kate said, Omer Rabbi Yosi Nidin Bezikar Rishayna Abolav. What does Rabbi Yosi mean by that? Let's consider two scenarios. Chamoisei Venafis Eishes Ish. Case number one is, suppose you have a man's mother-in-law who afterwards became a married woman. So let's say he married her daughter when she was a widow. So she became also to him at that time as Chamoisei, as his mother-in-law. Later on, she remarried to Abraham, and now she's also on two grounds. She's also an Eishes Ish. The Issur of Chamoisei came first. The Issur of in the case of Chamoisei, he gets Srefer for that. The case of Eishes Ish, he would get Chenek. Srefer is stronger than Chenek, so in that case, we'll give him Srefer. On the other hand, Eishes Ish would not just Chamoisei and didn't be Eishes Ish. What if the other way around? What if she was a married woman, and then she became his mother-in-law? So let's say, for example, that Sarah is... So let's say, for example, that Sarah is married. Yitzchak goes and marries her daughter.
Sarah is married.
Where at that point, being married, she's also to everybody because she's an Eishes Ish. She's also to everybody except her husband.
Right.
Yitzchak goes and marries her daughter.
Right.
Now at that point, now which Issur came first? If he has relations with Sarah, which Issur came first? The Issur of Eishes Ish. If Yitzchak has relations with Sarah, she was an Eishes Ish before she became his mother-in-law. As opposed to in this example, it was the other way around. She was his mother-in-law before she became an Eishes Ish. So then, Nidin be Eishes Ish. So we judge him by the penalty of an Eishes Ish, which is Chenek, even though that's more lenient. So what do we see from that? That Rabbi Yosi holds that Rabbi Yosi does not hold Issur Chalal Issur. Because otherwise, he would say that otherwise, what's he saying? It depends which one came first. He would say, you go according to the more stringent one, yeah? Which, okay, granted, Rashi says, I mean, okay, well, you're fine. When you're talking about the death penalty, the Tanakama, when the Tanakama says you give him the stronger death penalty, it's just as a practical matter, you can't kill him twice. So necessarily, it's not really that the stronger one replaces the weaker one. It's just you don't have a choice. You can only kill him once, so you have to do one thing. But Rabbi Yosi is saying that you don't go according to the stricter one, you go according to whichever one came first. That implies, Ein Issur Chalal Issur. But you know what? Rabbi Yosi agrees that an Issur can be Chal on an Issur if the second Issur adds to the first one. Issur Moisif is... Okay, so adds meaning like this. Let's say, for example...
No, we're
not talking about stringencies and death penalties. We're talking about that there's an... Issur Moisif means like this. It means that before you had this thing was only offer to some people, this thing or this woman or whatever it is, this chesed of Issur, was also only to some people. Now it's also to a larger subset of people. For example, let's review the case. If Sarah is Yitzchak's mother-in-law,
right,
at that point she's only also to him.
Right.
Anybody else in the world is also to her
because
her husband passed away. Yeah.
Right.
So therefore, what happens when she gets married? That marriage is an Issur Kolal. That makes her also to Issur Moisif. She's now also to everybody else in the world, not just to Yitzchak.
Right.
So So because she's now also to everybody else in the world, that also makes her more also to Yitzchak.
Without Isur
Halal Isur. Without, no, it is Isur Halal Isur. It's Isur Halal, because it's Isur Moisif, because the second Isur is adding something, is adding a dimension to the Isur that didn't exist before. Before she was only also to Yitzchak, now she's also to the whole world.
Okay, it's a second Isur also.
No, but it's a second Isur which adds. When do we say Ein Isur Halal Isur? We're saying is if the second Isur. So let's consider the other way around. What happens, for example, if it's the other way around? We said that Sarah was a married woman, which makes her also to everybody in the world. When Yitzchak marries her daughter, that's not an Isur Moisif. There's nothing being added. Sarah is not any more also to Yitzchak now than she was before. Beforehand also, before Yitzchak married her daughter, she was also to him because she's a married woman. She's an Ishidish, yeah. So that's the difference. In other words, here you have an Isur Moisif, because everybody else now is also to Sarah once she marries Abraham, whereas in this case, she was already married beforehand anyway. Now, Yitzchak marrying her daughter doesn't add any new dimension to the Isur.
Isur Moisif is really limited to the case of, instead of being Isur to one person, she becomes Isur to everybody else.
It could be to everybody, it could be to more people than it was, yes, more people than it was before, right, yeah. So therefore, so Bogesi will agree in that case, so therefore that's the difference between the two cases. That's why he'll say that it depends which one came first. Because in one case you will have an Isur Moisif, and in the other case you won't. The question is, okay, so returning to our case over here about the chos isha and eshes achiv. So fine, if the living brother, if Shimon got married first, and then Reuven got married, okay. If Shimon got married first, which then makes Rachel also to him, because she's his wife's sister, and then Reuven gets married, then fine. You would argue migur de itosef isur legabe achim. Since now that adds an Isur, because if there were other brothers, then Rachel would be also to them as well, because now she's a married woman. So fine, Itosef Isur Legabe Didei. So fine, we could argue that adds an Isur to Shimon as well, and therefore you could say Isur Chalal Isur according to Reb Shimon. Not Reb Shimon, Reb Yossi. Ela Heicha the Nasa Mesva Chakav Nasa Chai. But if Reuben got married first, which now makes Rachel also to everybody because she's an Eishes Ish, and then Shimon gets married to Leah. There's no Isur Moisif. So how does she become also as a Chos Ishtoi? And we said before that Rabbi Yossi says she's Chayev because of Eishes Ach and because of a Chos Isha, meaning Isur Chalal Isur, even though it's not an Isur Moisif.
And previously we said what about this?
Previously we would, so that's the thing. If we say Rabbi Yossi holds an Isur Chalal Isur period, well, that's the question. Originally it seems from that Rabbi Yossi holds Isur Chalal Isur always. Now we're saying no only by Isur Moisif. But now we have a case. There's no Isur Moisif. And yet,
except by Isur Moisif.
What?
Rabbi Yossi
will agree by Isur Moisif that Isur Chalal Isur. But here you don't have Isur Moisif, because Rachel is already as also as she can be to everybody.
And in that case, we said he
would. And yet Rabbi Yossi doesn't seem to be making a distinction what order anybody got married in. V'chitemam nigo de Isur b'kulu achvasa hai Isur kolalu. Sorry, it's a question of the answer. V'chitema, you might answer, okay, nigo de itza b'chulu achvasa. Okay, but you could argue something else. You could argue like this, that you have a different kind of thing. You don't have an isur moisif over here, but you have something called an isur kolo. Which is what the Gemara answers. Hi, Isur Kolo. That's a different kind of thing. Namely, you could argue like this: when Shimon gets married to Leah, which is the second marriage, you want to argue that there's no Isur Moisif because Rachel is already as Osir as she can be. Fine, but what is it now? All of Rachel's other sisters, all of Rachel's and Leah's other sisters, also become also to Shimon. This is the Isur Kolo is sort of the opposite of Isur Moisif. Isur Moisif, as we're saying, the Isur extends to more objects. The Isur extends to more objects. Like in this case, the woman is also to more people in the world. Here you're saying that when Shimon marries Leah, he's not only also, he was already also to Rachel. And of course, he's mutter to Leah. He's married to her. But now he's also in Bila and Zilpah and any of their other sisters. So you could argue then, because he becomes also in them, therefore you can say that Rachel sort of drags along with that also and becomes more also as well.
Very similar.
The problem is, but it's not. But this is called Isur Kolo.
Yeah, I understand.
Right. So that's the answer. Hi, Isu Kolalhu. So that's the difference. Isu Mosif, we have Isu Mosif. We can argue, we based on that case in Sanhedrin and in Crisis, we can say Rav Yossi agrees that Isu Mosif is Isu Chalal Isu. But here we're talking Isu Kolal. We don't have any evidence that Rav Yossi holds Isu of Isu Kolal.
Isu Kolal is only limited to the small people.
Isu Kolal means that now there's more. Isu Mosif meant the same object is now also to more people. Isu Kolal is sort of the opposite side of that. It's you are now also in more things than you were before. Another example of Isu Kolal Rashi brings is like this. Suppose, for example, that you have, let's say, for example, Nevela is Osir all year round. Comes Yom Kippur, all foods are Osir. You could argue because other foods are also, because now you have an Isu Kolal that includes all the different foods in the world, therefore it also includes Nevela as well, and therefore Nevela now gains an extra Isu on it, on Yom Kippur. That's called Isu Kolal. It's not Isu Mosif, though, because Yom Kippur is also to everybody, and then Nevela is also to everybody.
Nevela is always Aser, and on Yom Kippur...
And on Yom Kippur, so that's the argument.
Or Aser?
No, that if we say that, if we hold of Isu Kolal, then yes, we would say it is. If we don't hold the Isu Kolal, then no.
If we hold the Isu Kolal,
then because because all other foods are also on Yom Kippur,
yeah.
Therefore that schleps along the Nevela with it as well and makes it and allows the Isu of Yom Kippur to be chal on it as well.
So it's
form of Isu. Yeah, but that's the argument we're saying. But the argument we're saying over here is according to Rabbi Yossi, we should distinguish between Isu Kolal and Isu Mosif. Isu Mosif, he will say, can apply. Isu Chalal Isur. Isu Kolal, don't know. Just because it's Yom Kippur, the Nevela doesn't become more Osir. Just because you're also Osir to marry Bilhah and Zilpah now, doesn't make Rachel, who's already a married woman, more Osir to you. That's not Isu Mosif. You're not adding an Isur to anybody else. You're adding more things that are Osir to you. Yeah.
Isu Kolal is...
You could sort of say, you know, in the terminology, in the Lumdisha terminology that they use of Gavra and Chesta, you could sort of say an Isu Kolal makes that more Gavras, an Isu Mosif makes that more Gavras are now, the Isu now applies to more Gavras, and Isu Mosif, I'm confusing the terminology, let me try that again, that an Isu Mosif, which we said Rabbi Yossi would agree Isu Chalal Isur, you're adding more gavras, more people, that it becomes also to, whereas Isu Kolal, we would say there's more chesed, there's more objects that you become also to. So we're back to the question, what is Rabbi Yossi saying over there when he says, when he seems to be saying, yeah, but we don't have any reason to think that he would agree that Isu Kolal is Isu Chalal Isur. Ella Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, you know what, you're right. It doesn't mean Rabbi Yossi literally says in the case of the two brothers and the two sisters that literally in all cases he would be chayev two chatois or two mitzvos based in or whatever. Rather, malani olav kilo of the shtayim, it means we consider as if he did two averus ve'en chayev al achas, but in fact he's only going to have to bring a chatos for one of them because ein yisur chal al this, according to Rabbi Yossi. It means that Rabbi Yossi considers he's guilty of two averus. We just because ein isur, because of the technicality of ein isur chal al isur, we just have to bring one chatas. But he has two isurim. My nachim in it. So what's the practical outcome of that? L'kovra ben rishoyim gmurim. I don't know if necessarily we would be saying chatos, actually we could be talking about Mrs. Basin, but whatever. The nachim in it would be: do we bury him among the complete rishoyim? Meaning. The Gemara describes in Sanhedrin, they had different cemeteries, they had different burial sites for people who were executed by Beis Din. They had one for the ones who were executed for more serious things, Skila and Sefer, and one for the more lenient ones, Herek and Chenek. So we're saying over here, if you have this, they'd also make distinctions within that itself, like how bad was the person's Avera. So over here, we're saying the person has committed two averus. Technicalities, you can't apply both of them to him. You can't make him bring two chatois for it, but you can still say that he's more of a Rosh HaGomer than somebody who had just done one avera. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, you wouldn't even say that. According to Reb Shimon, you would say it's only one Isser at a time. The halacha is like, not like Rabbi Yossi anyway. The halacha is like the Chachamim, that Isur can be halal in certain cases, both Isur Moisif, which Rabbi Yossi agrees to, and also Isur Kodol. We're going to be discussing it over the next couple of days. And the Gemara points out, Uvplugta, and in fact, this point about whether was this that we're saying whether we say Isur Halal Isur and when we don't is also reflected in a machlokas between two of the Amoraim. The Itmar Zor Shishimish B'Shabbos. They said there's a discussion as follows: if a Zor does the Avoda in the Bais Hamikdash on Shabbos, now we have to consider.
A non-Kohen.
So number one, he's not a Kohen. He's not supposed to be. He's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim for that alone, for doing the Avodah. Number two, it's Shabbos, so he's being Mechal Shabbos. So Reb Chiya Omer Chayiv Shtayim. Reb Chiya says he's going to be Chayiv on two counts, both Zorus and which again Rashi points out, but here doesn't necessarily mean he's going to bring two Chatois. You don't bring a Chata, a Zor who does the Avodah doesn't bring a Chata, because not something that's Chayiv Kardos. It's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim.
It's not
an Issur Kohen.
It's not
an
Issur.
Wait, that's what we're going to be getting to. That's the whole discussion we're going to be having. But wait. So Reb Chiya says he's Chayiv two on two counts. Bar Kapora I mean Chayiv Alachas. Bar Kapora says he's only Chayiv one. Kofas Reb Chiya v'nishba. Reb Chiya jumped up and swore, Ha'avoida, I swear by the Avoida in the Bais Hamikdash, Kach shamaiti me Rebbe, shtayim. This is how I heard from Rebbe, that he's chayiv two chatois, or not two chatois, that he's chayiv on two counts.
Who says that?
Reb Chiya. Kofas Bakapora v'nishba. Bakapora also jumps up and swears, Ha'avoida, I swear by the Avoida, Kach shamaiti me Rebbe, achas. This is how I heard from Rebbe, he's only chayiv for one. Now, what the Gemara is going to discuss, and we'll get to tomorrow. I mean, so what did they each hear? You know, did they hear two or did they hear one? But the Mefarshim point out, even, I mean, ultimately, Rebbe would have had to say one or the other. The Gemara explains in Shavuos, neither of these is considered a Shavuos Shav, because each of them...
Swearing on the Avodah?
They're swearing on the Avodah. You don't care what it's... Normally, that's the thing. If a person swears on the Avodah to something that's false, then it's a Shavuos Shav or a Shavuos Shek or whatever. Here, it's not. Because each of them is firmly convinced that he's right. It's called, I think is what the Gemara calls it over there. Like it's basically an onus. If they had realized that Rebbe in fact had said differently than what they said, they never would have sworn.
But Shav is with intent.
Sort of, yeah.
This is one without intent.
This is without intent, basically. Anyway. So Hischil Reb Chiya Lodrun. So Reb Chiya started saying, "Let's analyze the matter. Shabbos Lakol Nesra. We know on Shabbos everybody's also to do malacha. Keshavut Reb Mikdash. When is malacha mutter in the Bais Mikdash? It's a Kohenim Hutra. It's only mutter for the Kohenim. Well then, Lakohenim Hutra v'loy Lazarim. So it's only mutter for the Kohenim. It remains also for Zarim. Yesh Kan Mishum Zarus. Yesh Kan Mishum Shabbos. So you have a count of Zarus, and you have a count of Shabbos because for Zar it's still also to do this malacha on Shabbos, and the fact of Zarus."
A coin
would be permitted, yeah. Hischil Bakapara Lodrun, so Bakapara says, okay, if you're going to go like that, I'll argue the other way. Shabbos Lakol Nesra, Shabbos is also to everybody. Keshehutra B'Mikdash Hutra, when Shabbos is Mutter, it's Mutter in the Bais Mikdash, meaning it sounds like to anybody who is in the Bais Mikdash, in kind of a Zarus. So therefore, you only have the issue of Zarus. Now, right now, we don't see the relevance of this yet to Issur Kohel and Issur Moisif. We're going
to
talk about that tomorrow.
Everybody.
Now that's what we're going to find out. Second case, Bal Mum Shishimish Betuma. Case number two. Suppose you have... So far all we have is a machlokas between Reb Chiya and Bar Kapara. Later on, once we go through the three cases that they argued about, the Gemara is going to start analyzing what the underlying principle is that they're arguing about. And relate it to what we were talking about. Case number two, Bal Mum Shishimish Betuma. If you have a Kohen who's a Bal Mum, who's not allowed to do the Avodah, and he did the Avodah when he's Tomei at a time when it's a Korban Sibur, when a Korban Sibur can be brought for Toma. So again, you have to say, but on the other hand, he's a Baal Mum, so he's not supposed to be doing the Avodah. Again, Reb Chiya Omer Chayiv Shtayim, Bar Kapora Omer Chayiv Alachas, same Machlokas, two versus one, and again, Kofetz Reb Chiya V'Nishba HaAvodah Kach Shemaitu Rebbe Shtayim, Reb Chiya jumps up and swears that I heard from Rebbe that he's Chayiv too, Kofetz Bar Kapora V'Nishba HaAvodah Kach Shemaitu Rebbe Achas, again, same Machlokas.
Any Avodah that he does, he's not allowed to
because of the Baal Mum, yeah.
Right, whether it's on Shabbos or not.
Yeah, we're talking on weekdays, but it was right. Betumah as well, so yeah.
And he was not.
Right. So if he was not a Baal Mum, he'd be allowed to do it for Truma. But because he's a Baal Mum, then the Rav Chiya is arguing he doesn't have the heter to do it for Truma.
And the other version said, both
says,
to each other.
Yeah. So his Rav Chiya Ladun, again, Rav Chiya starts analyzing it. Truma lakol nesra, it's also to, for anybody to bring korbanos when they're Trame. Kishahotra b'mikdash etzah koinim tmimim hotra. But when it's mutter in the Mishnah, because it's only mutter for koinim or tmimim, lakoinim tmimim, hotra below the Baal Mum. So it's only mutter for koinim or tmimim, not for Baal Mum. Therefore, yashkan v'shem Baal Mum, yashkan v'shem Truma. So you have two counts. Hischil of Bakapara Ladun, no. Truma lakol nesra. Truma is also to everybody. Kishahutra b'mikdash hutra. It's mutter in the bis mikdash. In other words, we look at the place, the bis mikdash, rather than at the people that it's mutter to. Again, in kind elements from Baal Mum. So you only have the problem that he's a Baal Mum. And case number three, Zor Shah.
And what even the Tmeim who are part of the Kehillah?
No. What we're saying is, we're going to have to analyze. That's what the Gemara is going to do tomorrow. What exactly Bar Kappara is saying? But it sounds like Bar Kappara is saying, Rav Chiya, you're talking about which people Shabbos or Tumah is mutter to. I'm looking at where it's mutter. The fact that we're in the Bais Mikdash makes certain things of Chilul Shabbos mutter. The fact that we're in the Bais Mikdash makes Tumah mutter. The fact that avodah is being done in the Bais Mikdash makes Tumah mutter. So therefore, the argument is Tumah or as the case may be, right?
Even in the
Bais Mikdash. Yeah, that's where you bring karbanos in the Bais Mikdash. Yeah. Case number three: Zor she'ocha malika. If a zor ate a bird that they've done malika on, so the kohen does malika to kill the bird for a chatas over an olah soif with his fingernail. Usually, that would make the bird an avela. In this case, when it comes to a chata sa'oif, the Torah specifically says that the kohenim should eat it. So therefore, in other words, so the usual case of nevela is allowed for them, but in this case, the person who's eating it is a zar. Again, Rav Chiya Mechayev Shtayim, Bakapora Yom Mechayev Alachas. Again, Kofetz Rav Chiya V'nish Ba'avoy Dekach Shemaitim Edevi Shtayim. Kofetz Bakapora V'nish Ba'avoy Dekach Shemaitim Edevi Achas. Hischa Rav Chiya Lodun, Rav Chiya starts analyzing. Nevela Lekol Hutra, Nesra. Nevela is also to everybody. Kishutra V'mikdash Eitzu Koinim Hutra. When it's mutter in the business, there's only mutter for kainim, or kainim mutter below the zorim, therefore yashkan mishum zoros, yashkan mishum malika, you have both issues. Hitzcha bakapara ladun, nevela lakol nesra, nevela is originally also to everybody, kishahutra b'mikdash hutra, it's mutter in a certain place in the mikdash, therefore ain't kanal mishum zoros, so therefore you don't have a problem with zoros. Thus far the machlokes. Now we're going to start analyzing it. But my kumifli, on the face of it, what are they arguing about? The Issu Kolo v'alibid Rabbi Yossi. They seem to be arguing about this matter of Issu Kolo, which we'll talk about how there's an Issu Kolo in each of these cases. And they're arguing about what Rabbi Yossi holds. Does Rabbi Yossi say, we said before that Rabbi Yossi holds that Issu Moisif, Issu Chalal Issu, does he also hold the same thing by Issu Kolo? Rav Chiya Sava, Rav Yossi be Issu Kolo Mechayev.
That discussion is going to answer the previous
issue. Yeah. Rav Chiya Sava, Rav Yossi be Issu Kolo Mechayev Tarti. So Rav Chiya would hold that Rav Yossi says not only by an Issu Moisif that we talked about before, but even by an Issu Kolo, he would say you Chayev on both grounds. Bakapora Sava le Mechayev al Chabib, whereas Bakapora would hold you only Chayev one.
He says Rav Yossi as both, Kolo and Moisif.
Well, okay, maybe we're not talking about Moisif at the moment. Maybe we could argue, I think Mefarshim talk about, do they necessarily have to agree with what Rabbi Yossi said, with what Rabbi Bohu said about Rabbi Yossi and Issu Moisif, or do they not necessarily have to be agreeing with that? But okay, let's keep things simple. Let's say, fine, they agree with Rabbi Bohu that he says by Issu Moisif. Now we're discussing Issu Kolo. The question is, my Issu Kolo Ikahacha. So okay, what exactly is the Issu Kolo we have in each of these cases? Bishlema Zar. So let's consider first the case of the Zar who did the Avodah on Shabbos. Mi'ikra Shori b'Malacha v'Asa b'Avodah. Originally, he is allowed to do Malacha throughout the rest of the week, but he's not allowed to do the Avodah. After La Shabbos, comes Shabbos. Migo d'Kamitza b'Malacha mitzah nami b'Avodah. Since he's also in all other kinds of Malacha, that's an Issu Kolo. He's now also in every kind of Malacha, as opposed to before. He's only also in certain ones. That's an Issu Kolo. Therefore, after La Shabbos, so there's an Issu Kolo. He's also on, throughout the week, he's only also in a certain kind of malacha, the kind that they do in the Bais Mikdash. Come Shabbat, he's also in all other kinds of malachas as well. There's more cheftas that are also to him. That's Issu Kolo. Well, very well then. Rav Chiya would be saying that Issu Kolo applies. Bar Kappara would say no. And therefore, by Kapara is saying he's only chayev for the same thing that he was chayev all along, namely he's only chayev for Shabbos, rather, he would say. He would say he's only chayev for Chorus, because Chorus is the issur that existed all along, as opposed to Rabbi, who would say he's chayev on both. Zoros and Shabbos. Similarly, Balmum, we could argue the same thing. The Ikra Shori Ba'achil of Osbavoid. Originally, the Balmum is allowed to eat Korbanos. The Pasuk says the Balmum is allowed to eat his share of Korbanos. But the Osbavoid, he's not allowed to do the Avoida. It Kamile, then when he becomes Tomei, Nigo de Kamitsa Ba'achil of Mitzah Nami Ba'avoida, you could argue the same kind of thing. It's a Kolol. He now becomes also even to eat the Korbanos. That can schlep in also that now on that basis he's also more also to do the Avoida than he was before. So again, Rav Chiya would therefore say he's chayiv on two counts, and Rav Kapara would say only one. Elam Malika, but how about Malika? But Vasachas Uda Mashkachas La. It only you don't have no Issur Kolol over there. The two things happen at one time, at the same time that Malika is done, which makes the burden avela, is the moment when it becomes also for the Zohar to eat. And therefore, so you can find that it exists with Vasachas, but Issur Kolol and Mashkachas, there's no Issur Kolol. You can't say at one time he was also in there. You can't say at one time, what? At one day, I mean, beforehand he was also in all Nevelas. You know, this is part of the category of Nevela. There's no Issur, you know, you're not adding anything more that, there's no bigger category of items that's becoming also by this bird having had Malika done to it.
Malika by
a non-Kohen
is Nevela.
No, we're not even talking about that. The Kohen did the Malika. Yeah. The Zohar is eating the bird.
That's
the case we're talking about. So no, the Malika was fine. But for a Zohar, it's still considered Nevela. And also, it's considered Nevela, and also he's a Zohar. That's the question, in other words. So there's no Issur Kolol. There's nothing that you can say before he was also in item A, and now he's now also in item B. The two Isurim happen at the same moment, the second the Malika is done.
So
there's no Issur Kolol. And we'll continue tomorrow, that's the gem. And Tosfos actually points out, there is actually technically a slight difference. You have that you have the Malika, and then you have shortly after that the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Only at that point does the Issur Zoros come into play. But up until that point, up until the sprinkling of the blood, nobody's allowed to eat it. And
when does it become an avela?
As soon as Malika is done. Which actually Tosfos ends up answering that the difference is before the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, before the blood of the bird is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, you anyway don't have the Issur Nevela either, because it's already offer on the grounds of Me'ila. It's a carbon. It's off limits to everybody. Until the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, nobody's allowed to eat from it. The moment the blood is sprinkled...
It's on the ground of Me'ila.
Yeah, the moment the blood is sprinkled, the Issur of Me'ila goes away, the Issur of Nevela comes, and at the same moment, the Issur of Zoros comes.